Rolling, bruh.
Pratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1,281, March 22nd, 2024. 71 degrees on this day in 1945. 14 below on this day in 1888. And on this day,
March 22nd?
1952, 14 inches of snow.
Hail the flashlight, King.
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Height in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Mark from Chippewa Falls has done the Lord's work. The podcast count was correct through last Friday, March 15th, at 1266. Then the mayor started this week at 1277. I missed 10 years, didn't I? I mean 10 shows. 12, Monday was 1267, Tuesday was 1268, Wednesday was 1269, yesterday was 1270, and today is 1271, not 1281. All right, I'm going to put down 1271. Thank you, sir. You're from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Thank you very much. Was Chippewa Falls where Diane Keaton had to go home in Annie Hall? Did they live in Chippewa Falls?
What's that? I love Annie Hall, but I can't recall that.
And, sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Walken, Christopher Walken was her brother. Yeah. Who was completely nuts. I think, and they had the dinner table.
Lobster?
Yeah, it was one of the scenes.
Where he threw the butt, something was under the
kitchen.
But
I'm talking about Chippewa Falls. I think it was Chippewa Falls.
It is Chippewa Falls. I just looked
Thank
it up.
Thank you very much. Is Mark Garofalo with us?
Well, Pat. I mean, I don't think Pat, Mark was available
today. Well,
that's
his brother, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Pat Garofalo, state representative, how are you?
Oh, I'm just peachy, sir. How about you?
Two things. You notified the show about the poor math ability of the Minneapolis City Council as it refers to their ordinances they keep trying to create for rideshare. You want to illuminate that for us?
Well, I just, you know, as I think as everyone knows now, Uber and Lyft are slated to shut down May 1st.
Right.
And it's because of this silly city council ordinance that they enacted. And the specifics of this are that they're mandating that an Uber driver would get $1.40 for every mile they drive and 51 cents for every minute they drive. So you kind of do the math on that. If they do four fares for 15 minutes each, you know, 10 miles each, I mean, just kind of like just do the math. It doesn't work out. It destroys demand. Not only that, if it didn't destroy demand, hell, I'd quit my job and I'd just go start driving Uber for that sort of money.
It's about $50, isn't it? I mean,
it's way more than that. It's insane. And like, and we're not, again, I understand like reasonable people can debate the proper role of government and whatever. But is it so bad that the DFL is this bad at math?
Yeah.
Has it reached the level that they simply deny basic mathematics?
Yes. Yes.
All right, well, there's our answer. There we go.
All right, why did they get into it in the first place? It's not their job to set salaries for private employees.
Well, independent contractors.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing about it. So, you know, astute listeners of your program will remember that when I was on the show in May, and we talked about this issue, I started laughing, saying that there's no way walls... Because remember, the legislature, the DFL legislature, passed a law to essentially do the same thing. There were some differences, but it was to make the program uneconomical. And I said, there's no way this can become law. Walls has to veto it,
right?
Which he did, right? Because there was no other alternative. It was just going to be a complete disaster.
Right.
Well, now the Minneapolis City Council, I can only assume after a fresh night of drinking, decided that they wanted to do this, right?
Yeah.
And so it is just... It is bonkers. It is beyond, like, as dumb, as foolish as mistakes are that we see happening in the state of Minnesota with our public policy, this truly defies description. I mean, you could sit down with a fourth grader and they could understand why this is a bad idea, but the DSL can't figure it out. It's just brutal.
Another thing that intrigues me, from your perch in the House of Representatives, is this state starting to get a bad rap nationally?
Well, it's it's not as good as it used to be, right? I mean, this is brand damage,
right?
Like, so people who don't live in Minnesota, who aren't here all the time, you know, what are the first things they think about when it comes to Minnesota? You know, it used to be like Prince and Kirby Puckett
or
and
fish,
nice,
or the mall,
or nice, yeah, right, nice parks, clean, yeah, air, quality, yeah, of life. Now it's riots, lunacy, and a failure to understand math.
Right.
I mean, when you have national publications writing editorials mocking your state for taking what is an essential service out, knocking it offline.
Right.
It makes no sense. I mean, does anyone of your listeners think it's a good idea to go back to the way we had with taxi cabs?
No.
Where they had inefficient, expensive service delivery. Right?
Right.
No one wants to go backwards. Yet that's exactly what we're seeing from the DFL and their inability to understand basic math. It is, and your listeners know this. Can you tell, by the way, that Chris put a quarter in me before
we got on? What happened?
But like there are record numbers of insane people in both political parties.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you need divided government. At the federal level and at the state of Minnesota, you cannot have one party in total control, or else you get a roadside car fire like this.
This is what we're having. You have intimated, I believe, to Reavers. I don't know why he would not have been able to handle that, but you intimated to Reavers that Walls is triangulating. What do you mean by that?
Well, what has happened now, and you see this on a host of issues, is the DFL has reached the breaking point. They have continued tacting farther and farther left,
mm-hmm,
more and more crazy. So remember last year they increased the budget to $70 billion, 36.5% increase. Now we're shocked that next year's budget is going to be upside down. Shocked, totally shocked that, mm-hmm, you can't maintain that. So he's saying, hey, we can't spend any more money right now. Mm-hmm. So he is he's moving himself away from the progressive base, the left-wing base.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Uber, he's pushing himself away from the left-wing base, saying, hey, you know, we've got to fix this. Now, of course, his primary objective is if this blows up on May 1st, he doesn't want his fingerprints by it.
Right.
So he's pushing himself away from that. And then finally, you see with this, you know, Mary Moriarty in Hennepin County,
mm-hmm,
completely irresponsibly charging the state trooper for his appropriate use of deadly force.
That's right.
You see him now distancing himself away from that because he can take that case away from her and send it to the attorney general.
Right.
And so you see on these issues that even the DFL has gotten too crazy even for Tim Walz.
That's so right.
And that's where things are going. And I'd love to have some good news at the end and say, hey, you know, they've seen the error of their ways and it's an election year, so they're going to be pragmatic. Nope. That's not where we are.
No. So. It's always fun to talk to you. And,
yeah, I can't thank you enough for all the great news.
Right.
Come on in one of these days. We'll make that happen.
Absolutely. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, Pat Garofalo.
I did put a quarter in him a little bit.
When I said you can't handle that, I was being facetious.
No, I know.
I was giving you some grief.
I know.
But he mentioned Mary Moriarty. Did you see now where our state lawmakers in Congress, in a bipartisan way, are calling for her to take her mitts off the Londrigan case?
Yeah.
And we get a pretty good quote here from... Who's the quote from? Pete Stauber. Republican U.S. Representatives Tom Emmer, Michelle Fischbach, Pete Stauber, and Brad Finstad sent a letter to Walls Wednesday demanding the case be removed from Moriarty's office. They also said they'd ask the House Judiciary Committee to investigate the matter. Quote, Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty has weaponized her position against law enforcement, they said. She ignored an independent use of force expert chosen by her own office, who stated that Trooper Londergren acted as a reasonable officer would have. And I think it's gotten to the point where what is the point of her even being in that office? Because if it comes to law enforcement, to maintain a civil society, you're going to have to take every case away from her. She has weapons, but she's told us that. Not in so many words, but she said, this is where I'm coming from. And here she comes, and she's charging this state trooper who did his job.
Mm-hmm.
And now they want the case taken from her. And it will be. It has to be. She can't continue this nonsense. We're back to yesterday's question. And Kenny's answer is both. Is she part of an organized effort in this country to destroy the culture of law and order? Or is she driven by a deep, possibly planted as a child, ideology?
Or both. I came up with a third one overnight. Yeah. Is she simply trying to prevent another riot?
I do not think that's what she's up to. I don't give her any credit for altruism. I don't see that in her makeup. I don't see that.
The people that are requesting that this be put in Ellison's lap, though, do they realize that then Ellison is going to be both prosecuting and defending the trooper?
And he can't, because that's a conflict of interest.
Right.
Because the state troopers are under his heading. It's just a mess. It should go away today. It should just, Moriarty should pick up the phone, call the defense and say, you know what, never mind. It's over. There's going to be nothing. Well,
okay, but if she does that, and maybe he does anyway.
She won't do that.
I know she won't, but if she does that, what type of lawsuit are we talking about then?
I don't necessarily know there would be a lawsuit.
For defamation? You don't think so?
Well, I don't know that. I don't care about that. That's not what's in play here. What's in play here is this preposterous charging of him for doing his job. If you want to worry about the lawsuit, let's wait till that happens. Okay. I can only take things one step at a time.
Okay.
When are you leaving? Are you leaving today?
Boy, am I. Sorry.
How is everybody?
Great.
You're right. The only answer here is the cleanest thing that could possibly be done is her dropping
it. Just drop it. Mary, you're wrong. Do you have the ability to say that to the public? You blew it.
Because taking it out of her hands, it's still going to be messy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Moriarty initially said the expert's opinion would be crucial in deciding whether to charge the trooper. But she stopped working with the expert and later charged Londergren with second-degree murder, manslaughter, and first-degree assault. Mary, you blew it. You got a young state trooper going by the book, and you want to throw that book at him. Not that book. You want to throw your book at him. It's pathetic. The state is pathetic. I like what Garofalo said. We probably did in Minnesota have a brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a pretty good brand. I mean, going back to when Wendy Anderson held up the stringer of walleye on the cover of Time magazine, and I think the headline was, "The State That Works." My God, it's not even recognizable now compared to that. The left is nuts. They're nuts.
Did you see who's backing Mary with all her might?
Ilhan bleeping Omar, who said, if you're not in Hennepin County, stay out of it.
Yeah.
Well, Ilhan Omar, biggest mistake that 5th District ever made.
Ilhan, question for you. When is the last time you did something for Hennepin
That's
County?
Just the 5th District.
Yeah.
I suppose that is all of Hennepin
even
County.
Even Cedar Riverside, just an intersection. When did you do something for that intersection?
Yeah. It's just... I'm glad to hear people that might be considered more reasonable than us point out that our brand has really taken a beating. Whether it's the Mall of America, Prince, the Twins, fishing, Winter Wonderland, Land of 10,000 Lakes.
You Betcha and casseroles.
That's right.
Hot dish.
Hot dish with those crushed up potato chips.
Yes. Good old Minneapolis, responsible for half the country burning down in 2020.
Yeah.
Yay us.
What a brand hit. And now let's turn to, is this Center of the American Experiment? I believe it is. Do you know how many people are leaving town?
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Well, I...
You mean leaving town, like going on vacation or leaving?
There's a little more than 3 years between the date of the last census, April 1st, 2020, and July 1, 2023. Hennepin County lost a net 23,000 residents, even as the state overall posted a modest gain. So net domestic out-migration from Hennepin County was over 50,000 people, equivalent to a good-sized suburb, which was partly balanced by international migration from Somalia and other countries of 11,000 people. And that out-migration will only increase with a pro-crime county attorney in charge of law enforcement. As Bill points out, I believe that would be Bill Glon, Ramsey County, home of St. Paul, is doing even worse as a percentage of its population. The larger blue counties of L.A., Cook County, Chicago, and New York City boroughs of Brooklyn and Queens lost even more. Of the 10 counties in America with the largest domestic inflows, 9 were in red states, Florida, South Carolina, and Texas. So the great sorting is dramatically reshaping life in America. Liberals face a serious problem. Their ability to achieve their goal of making our lives worse is limited by the fact that we can move. The Soviet Union dealt with this problem by devising a system of internal passports designed to keep people in place. But American liberals can't really do that, certainly not without amending the Constitution, to which I would add they have little regard for in the first place. So unlike residents of some totalitarian countries, Americans do retain the ability to vote with their feet, which might turn out to be the most important right of all. I think I just read that California is now charging people leaving the state an exit tax.
No way.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
I think it's if you're...
John Haidt, would you verify that for me, please?
I looked this up a few weeks ago, and I think it's for... residents of a certain income level, something I would not have to worry about.
So the richer you are, if you leave California, the more money they want from you?
That's what I remember.
B is in B.
Would that directly then apply to if you had a pretty significant business then, too? Is that what they're targeting?
Yep, it would target that too. The California exit tax on individuals and businesses who decide to move out of California. If your annual income exceeds $30 million, you could be subject to the tax for up to 10 years after you leave.
That is
the
insanity.
State of California.
Well, there's about 10 movie stars that would get hit with that.
Oh, sure.
Moving away. Okay, thanks.
Well, Ma and Pa with the two kids in the 15-year-old minivan, if they're not going to be subject to a tax.
Not yet.
No. GLers, it's great to have Grunhoffers back, especially on the eve of Easter, because if you haven't had a Grunhoffers double smoked ham for Easter, you're missing the bet. And there is a new Grunhoffers location, and that location is on Highway 96 in Birch Lake Square, where Spencer's nephew, Jake, is running the store manager. So his meat competence would be genetic, right?
Runs in the family.
It's on Highway 1350 Highway 96. Stop in or call any of the three Grunhoffers locations to order your double-smoked, skinless, bone-in ham. There's that new location on Highway 96. The old Anchor store just north of Hugo on Highway 61 and the store in Forest Lake just east of 97. I'm sorry, just east of 35E off Highway 97. There's a great BOGO offer now, too, with the brat specials. Mm-hmm. And if you're going there for the ham, load up.
Let's go.
Get the burgers, the steaks, the chops, the whole deal. but you want that ham for Easter.
Save yourself some time, too, because you're going to be looking after a refrigerator, freezer of brats, brats and brats.
Well, there's more than 100 flavors.
It's not a five-minute in and out.
Well, every week a new series of featured brats will be included, and this BOGO is a great way to try one of the many new flavors for free with the purchase of a regularly priced pack. It's Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats. It's the best meat you've ever tasted, and those hams are the best hams you've ever laid eyes on. Mm-hmm. Easter is coming. Get a hold of Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. The latest audio addition to the Garage Logic Music Library.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Souchere.
I've got a rare affliction.
Turn that on!
Aren't you on vacation pretty soon? When do you go?
That's the song "Doo-Wop the Banana Split."
You can leave now.
Okay. Could you leave about, five minutes ago, please?
Just have Rook switch seats with Chris.
God
and Chris
almighty. I never want to hear that again.
Wait a minute. The other day, what'd you tell me?
What's the chorus?
I'd like to hear songs we haven't heard a thousand bleeping times.
Well, that fits the bill.
We had this discussion at my house, and Dylan pointed out, he sent you about 70 songs, but we always hear the same 10.
Yeah, so get your act together.
You want to hear some new oldies.
He's going on vacation. How do I segue into this?
If you need to clean up a mess.
Yes. You call Joe. An audio mess. No, absolutely not. When you need to make sure that your carpets are looking fantastic, well, maybe not for Easter because it's pretty close. I don't know how far out their schedule is booked, but Zero Res will make your home wonderfully clean. How do I know this? Because I've used them in the past. There's 17,000 raving customer reviews online, 4.9 Google rating. The hype is there with the wonderful, wonderful people at Zero Res. So not only are they going to clean out your carpet, they've got the Zero Res Gotta Love It guarantee. They're going to take care of you. And this month, here's the deal. You're going to get three rooms Zero Resified from Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner starting at just $129. $75, take that off your air duct cleaning, and 20% off all upholstery. Call Zero Res. I'm going to give you the telephone number. But they zip in, they zip out, they're professional, and they've been with Garage Logic since the day one when they started advertising here. Zero Res, Z-E-R-O-R-E-Z, or online, ZeroResMinnesota.com. Tell them you want the rookie special, 952-ZERO-RES, spelled forward or backward, it's spelled the same, Zero Res.
We have an imam in Michigan who was calling for the slaughter of Jews.
Ooh.
Like sheep. Can we'll you just slaughter them like sheep.
I don't think we can do that.
Warren, Michigan.
Nor do we want to.
His name is Abdu Zindani. Don't worry, Jewish man, he said. One day we'll come and we will slaughter you like a sheep, and the stone and the tree will work. I don't know what the hell that means. Hey, Muslim, come. There is somebody hiding here. Get up and kill him. Oof. He later made an emotional appeal to Allah, begging that Muslims be made his soldiers. Every way you want us to be, with the tank, with the eye, with the money, with the hand, make us soldiers for Islam. Make us die the way you want us to die. The clip was streamed live on the mosque's YouTube channel. It has gone viral, with many expressing outrage over the radical rhetoric.
Really?
They are here. Islamists are in the U.S. They are preaching Islamic supremacy, terrorism, and the destruction of our culture, warned one user on Twitter. Is the FBI doing this job? Do you care about uncontrolled illegal immigration? How long will people wait? Sort of says something that Democrats are tripping over themselves to capture these votes, doesn't it? This is the constituency that Biden is trying to placate with his Gaza policy. The Michigan-based Zindani, who spoke at the 2023 Interfaith Thanksgiving service by Detroit's Interfaith Leadership Council, is a preacher at the Islamic Center of Warren, Michigan. A nonprofit, of course, with all contributions tax deductible. The matter comes as Arab American voters in various states have expressed intent to punish Biden in elections due to his stance on Israel and the Gaza conflict. In Michigan, where the president's loss would likely doom his reelection campaign, more than 100,000 Democrats chose uncommitted over Biden in the recent primary, indicating significant dissatisfaction with his own party. All right.
Can you pause a second?
Yeah.
When you said he called for their deaths on YouTube, it immediately struck me that that's against YouTube's hate speech policy.
Good point.
And I was wondering why that hadn't been pulled yet. Reading here, hate speech is not allowed on YouTube. We don't allow content that promotes violence or hatred against individuals or groups based on any of the following attributes, which indicate a protected group status under YouTube's policy. And then they go on and on.
It says the clip, which was originally streamed live on the Moss YouTube channel, has gone viral in recent days. I'm getting this from Breitbart and other sources. The conventional news gatherers have not covered this, as far as I can find. It says originally streamed. Maybe I'm supposed to assume that it has been taken down.
Well, I'm going to assume it hasn't, and then I'm going to assume there's two set of rules on YouTube, and he made the cut.
I can tell you, Kenny, to answer your first question. For instance, when I post stuff to YouTube for Garage Logic, I have to designate certain things on it to make it acceptable for YouTube.
Yeah,
but I don't know anything about if that's different for doing something live streaming. That I don't know.
There is, it's not on YouTube anymore, but there are cuts from him, and he may say the same thing. I don't know, because I watched the original one that you were just talking about, Joe, and that one is not up on YouTube.
I have many Jewish neighbors, and I think we're going to have to be standing together.
I already do.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think you do. Well, Highland Park, where I grew up, St. Louis Park.
It's going to come to more than just us saying that we stand together. I mean, it seems to me that we're headed towards violence.
Yep.
And we're going to have to get physical here. And that means we're going to have to stand next to our Jew friends and duke it out, fight it out, whatever that fight may be. We're going to have to do it.
Isn't it funny, though, how two religions that are were based, you know, Christians and Jews, they're very different, but they have the same values. We don't honor a God that wants us to annihilate everybody else.
You know,
We had some bad times.
What are you, Bishop Sheen? Really?
Yeah.
But no, that's really curious. The Protestants, the Catholics, the Jews, we're all getting along pretty well.
Yes.
It's just the Muslims that want to kill everybody. Or the radical Muslims, I should say.
You mean some people did some things, according to Ilhan.
And the man chuckles about it.
Remember the Charlotte thing, three years ago?
Yeah.
Where those were not Muslims chanting, "Jews will not replace us."
Refresh me. I don't remember this.
I'm drawing a blank.
Remember the Trump quote about there's good people on both sides?
Yeah.
It came after the Charlotte thing. There was a group, a large group of fellas, white, blonde, and Aryan-looking, shall we say, marching in Charlotte the night before, saying, "The Jews will not replace us." More words about Jews. And then the next day we had the riots. Remember where the guy ran over the one protester and killed her?
Yeah.
And then we had the comments from then President Trump saying, good people on both sides.
But that's just it. The Jews don't want to replace us, and we don't want to replace the Jews. So those guys are off their January Sixers.
They're Nazis. I mean, let's face it, they're Nazis. That's their view of the world, is a Nazi.
What's disappointing is this has become America's problem, where, you know, before we had a sense of security because all of this hate and warring and fighting was contained to the Middle East and whatnot, and now it's right here, and it's in every state, in every city.
But the anti-Semitism we just talked about wasn't refined to the Middle East or you know. I mean, that, it came from within our country.
Correct. I still don't remember the story, but I'm going to go with what you said.
It was a huge news story. Huge.
Oh, I remember it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was everywhere.
Thankfully, I've blocked it.
Oh. I know I was supposed to be watching college basketball like a good American, yeah, but I couldn't help but notice that In Heat of the Night was on last night.
Oh, the original movie.
Yeah, which I've
great movie.
Often, I've just loved it forever. And that wasn't that long ago. It was 1967. And just a real brilliant work by Rod Steiger and Sidney. And I don't know where I'm going with this, except we've come a long way since then.
Okay.
Yeah. Come a long way since
then. So what are you saying? You're saying that that was very recent, or that was another point in time that we forgot
about?
You
know what, Matt? I really don't know what I'm saying.
Okay. No, it's worth thinking about, because we thought we had come a long way, but it seems like we're in reverse here the last few years.
Plenty of hatred. That's the only way I'm going to put it. And I know sometimes all of us disagree on that, but there's plenty of hatred out there still.
Plenty of hatred to go around.
Yeah, no, I don't. You can't dispute that. I don't think anybody can dispute that. But wouldn't you agree that it seemed, or maybe it's just our white privilege lifestyles that we thought it was getting better. Maybe it wasn't.
Well, I certainly took the test.
I have no white privilege.
Yeah, Joe's at zero.
It does seem like we're in reverse, and it's just more of an issue
what
now.
What would you say we peaked, Ken, about 03, 04, somewhere in there?
When I was at my drunkest is when we were, as a country, we were the happiest. So sometime in the 80s, 90s.
That goes for me, too.
Yeah, it's pretty happy in the late 80s, the 90s.
Well,
Emailer Tom often weighs in on our dire straits from St. Paul. Joe, recent podcasts have provided more opportunities for amateur links than a listener can reasonably be expected to piece together. But on Thursday's podcast, you said you can foresee a day when America's lights no longer work, and it brought something to mind. I don't know if you've ever read Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, but forgive a spoiler for those disinclined to slog through 1,000 pages of dense prose. One of the book's protagonists knows America is done for when the lights of New York City go dark. This brought to mind a recent interview I heard with Mike Rowe, famous for his television show Dirty Jobs. Rowe cited a staggering statistic. For every 4 electricians who retire this year, there are only 2 to take their place. Our country's infrastructure is crumbling, and we have fewer and fewer people capable of repairing it. And worse, euphorians minimize, if not vilify, those who get their hands dirty to keep the country functioning. On Thursday, Height read a story about a shooting at an Edina fitness center, which Reavers theorized was over a pickup basketball game. I was a bit dismayed when Kenny laughed off the story and chastised Reavers for being so serious about the incident. This is indicative of where we are in America, when even GLers laugh off an attempted murder and say, well, that's just how it is these days. Just make sure your treadmill faces the door. Imagine a day in the not-so-distant future when the lights go dark in Minneapolis and all that's left are diversity coordinators, college professors, and murderous thugs emboldened by the timidity of feckless bureaucrats like Mary Moriarty. People close to me are weary of hearing me say the following, but it's a thought exercise that's well worth pondering. Just imagine when the emboldened thugs taking pot shots at each other in broad daylight are fighting over FEMA rations and not basketball games in a city gone dark in every sense of the term.
Oof. Wow.
Dark thoughts.
I thought I was cynical.
I was just going to say, Joe, I thought you were cynical.
You know, what, though? It's hard to argue with anything he said.
Are we using his name?
Tom Bond.
Tom, my hat's off to you.
He's a frequent,
let me just
frequent emailer, long-time GLer.
And a caller, Tom from St. Paul.
Yeah.
Let me clarify the one thing, though, Tom, about Kenny dismay. That just happens with pretty much anything I say.
So everything.
Don't take that as, you know.
So, yeah.
That's pretty much a daily occurrence.
But don't worry.
Well,
I've got a place where you can go.
Where, Joe?
But wait a second, Joe. Yeah. He's dead on. He's correct. Us of all people, you know. Thomas.
Yes, Chris?
I was looking for the right opportunity, because I can tell you're about to transition, to play a piece of audio for you.
To what?
Talking about the dismay, the black helicopter, the dark circle that we're spiraling down.
Sure.
You guys are familiar with Governor Maura Healey, DFL Massachusetts.
Okay.
You're familiar with her?
I am now.
She is the one who offered the residents of Massachusetts the opportunity to house migrants. They've got some issues.
Right.
Well, she was interviewed by local ABC affiliate Boston 25.
Is she harboring any?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
They had a problem in Boston. An illegal alien, or migrant, excuse me, raped a disabled girl in Boston.
Not fair.
And here is what she had to, this was her response.
This is the governor.
Healey, if she can prevent this type of incident from happening again.
You know, unfortunately, we have security and systems in place. We have vetting in place. It is unfortunate that, you know, from time to time, things will happen.
But...
Things will happen.
Things will happen.
A poor disabled woman was raped.
14-year-old girl.
Things are not supposed to happen.
Well, how's that different than Omar saying some people did some things?
That's exactly the same thought I had when I heard that quote.
What's your phrase, Joe, about the center not holding?
The center is not holding around and round the widening gyre. The falcon cannot hear the falconer.
Yeah, we're circling into the abyss.
Mm-hmm. What is wrong with that woman? What I sometimes find myself wondering that. What is wrong
with... Did you lose your compassion?
What happened?
Yeah, where did you lose that?
What did you hear at the kitchen table growing up? What
were you always this way?
What's wrong with you?
What got you off track?
I've given up wondering that about Mary Moriality. I've come up with my conclusion. She's either A or B. And either one covers it.
Or all the above?
Yeah. Or both, yeah.
Or I'm not sure.
Well, what the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Well, it's viewing the world through only one lens. You're either an oppressor or you're oppressed. And there's no room in that outline. There's no room for goodness. Mm-mm. Because if you're an oppressor... Well, obviously you shouldn't be. And if you're oppressed, we're going to make the world your oyster. There's no way to win. If that's your worldview, there's no rational slot to fit in. There's nowhere to be except chaos, which is what...
Some people want.
I'm no longer surrounded by Hennepin County liberals. It would really be so. I can't walk out in the alley and down the alley and talk to my neighbors and find out why they support Mary. I really want to know, why do you support her given the promises she made and the promises she's keeping? Why? What do you see in her? What result are you looking for?
Yeah, I think you'd find, particularly where you lived, you might have found quite a few of your alley dwellers who did not vote for her.
Yeah, and had a lot of liberals on my block, and every single one of them hardworking, real jobs, real families.
I do think, though, that some people are turning on her, because I know, we all know one diehard lefty who works in this building and is a South Minneapolis resident, and she says, I regret ever voting for this woman. And she's not alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do I know this person?
You do.
For $1 million.
For $1 million. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, I was teasing you. I was telling you that there is a place to go to calm down.
Where's that, Joe?
Climate cafes.
Oh.
Yeah, they're springing up all over the world. And this is where people can deal with their anxieties, most principally their global warming. This is the New York Times is all over this.
Hmm.
They have a piece called "Can Climate Cafes Help Ease the Anxiety of Planetary Crisis?" You know what you morons need to realize, you morons who buy this BS? There's a crisis, all right, but it has nothing to do with the climate.
Right.
It has to do with human behavior. There's no climate crisis. That's just made up. to bring about this destruction. One organization is called Climate Psychology Alliance North America. They told the New York Times they've trained 350 people to run climate cafes.
Fun.
In the U.S. and Canada, with 300 people on the Climate Aware Therapist Directory.
A climate barrister?
No, the Climate Aware Therapist Directory.
Okay.
The alliance examines how mental health is affected by ecosystems, extreme weather and disasters, tainted air and water, and how that intersects with other forces like racism and income inequality. Psychologists say that such groups help people face the unsettling realities of the climate crisis, New York Times reporter Lola Fadulu and Emily Schmall wrote. And that's exactly where they belong, is at the New York Times. Exactly where they belong at the New York Times. Let me see what else they said about the groups include the simply named Climate Cafe in New York City. That was founded in November of 2022. It's since grown into a wider activist organization involving protests and festivals. We get it. No one likes thinking about global warming. But we all share a concern about it. At Climate Cafe, we are here to make it simple for you to take action. Meet your neighbors, enjoy some coffee, and learn exactly how you can take part in the fight of our future. The fight for your future is the behavior of your neighbors, not the climate. Are we panicking today because of the state tournament snowstorm?
Well, we better be.
Is there a climate cafe in the Twin Cities where Minnesotans can go and put their head on the table in grief and put their head on their forearm in grief?
And just sob.
And just sob and sigh heavily and wonder if it's the end of the world. Do we have that ability? Is that happening here? Because I'll go directly to one. When I leave today, I'm going directly to the climate cafe.
Joe, when you walk in the door, you think you're going to be greeted by the smell of roasting coffee beans and BLTs on the grill? What do you think you're going to smell?
B.O. Yeah.
What do they serve at the climate cafe? Is it more of a food-based coping?
You get the coffee.
But, you know, you got to have more than
maybe
that.
They might have a donut.
Like a scone?
Maybe.
Yes.
Yes. Scone.
When you help find your role in the largest movement in human history. This is the largest movement in human history. I didn't know that.
That's something.
And offer opportunities to make friends at our events. By uniting as climate citizens, we will bring about the kind of transformation that our economy and society needs to stop the climate crisis in its tracks. And remember, if you can convince just one Euphorian resident of Liberal Lakes or Diversity of this truth, you will have done yeoman service. Remember, this has nothing to do with the climate. Nothing. This has nothing to do with the snowfall today. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing what we now know about passing gas and the harm that causes. If you pass gas in this joint, it's the equivalent to burning a tire, isn't it?
You have let off a nuclear device.
You will be 86 for life.
You know, the cafe, what are they called? What did I call them?
Climate cafes.
Well, they're also affiliated with groups such as Extinction Rebellion, Planet Over Profit, I rest my case, Fridays for Future, and the Sunrise Movement. Exhibition Rebellion has frequently appeared in headlines based on its extreme activism, blocking busy streets and interrupting events like a U.S. Open match. Mm. What have you accomplished? You morons.
Dummies.
Nothing.
I would like to open right across the street from every single climate cafe a responsible opposing viewpoint cafe. I don't know what that would be.
Maybe
a Knack Hardware and Lounge with a potbelly stove where we can burn our scraps of paper and other trash. I don't know. It's something worth
There's another group known as the Resilient Activists, founded by 71-year-old Sammy Aaron, S-A-M-I, after she said her son a Berkeley student committed suicide because of hopelessness over climate change. I'm very sorry about that, Sammy. Well, what I would do, I'm not a lawsuit guy, but what I would do is I would sue Berkeley for being a failed academy.
I'm going to guess the son had some deeper issues than just worrying over climate change. That's just
my older son, Kevin, was one of those activists who was broken by the emotional burden he carried, believing that his personal well-being was of little importance when weighed against the needs of the world. He died by suicide in 2003. And that's way before this hysteria.
Yeah.
He wrote, letting go of the passion to work on substantive structural change in favor of personal happiness is not a viable option. The Resilient Activist was founded to help activists like him recognize the critical value of self-care and to provide the community resources and insight to support long-term resilience in light of the critical work they do, Sammy Aaron wrote.
So his upbringing had nothing to do with it? Nothing at all? What he was taught in the home?
Nothing that she apparently is ready to address, maybe.
Right.
That would be a tough thing, way to lose a kid. I don't deny that.
The worst. The worst.
But you're dealing with some mental illness there, Mom. Let's face it, the world didn't kill him. The International Force of Nature organization boasts over 190 climate cafes across 49 countries. Its website says, now more than ever, we need spaces to host discussions about the climate crisis. There is no crisis. How it affects us and the actions we need to tackle it. Individual actions alone won't solve the climate crisis. You know what, though? It's a lot more fun for these young morons to hang out and complain about this stuff rather than work.
Right.
You know, it's just easier.
Right. And there's no accountability.
Especially if you drive for Uber in Minneapolis, apparently.
That's right.
They're among their peers. You're right. They're not going to run into any of those pesky citizens who have jobs.
No, this is fun. Why don't we take a break and return with our newsman?
Okay.
We haven't had many roofers join us on Garage Logic, but Pete is with us from Hire a Pro, and he wants to explain to you how they do what they do.
Joe, last year we helped a lot of GLers keep what a roofing company would have otherwise taken in profits. We showed everyone behind the curtain, and the average homeowner kept about $5,600. Minnesota had a huge hail year in 23, and there's a lot of people who still have roofs to replace. Let's sit down and look over your claim together. We'll show you labor, material costs, how much profit is on the claim, and what you would keep for getting a permit and writing out a couple extra checks. Not a bad ROI for letting Hire a Pro manage the project for you. Oh, and lifetime manufacturer-backed warranties? Yeah, we got those too. So tell me, if the options were us or someone with no transparency who takes all the money, would you go anywhere else?
Probably not.
So hit us up. Worst case is you don't like transparency and you'd rather pay full price.
So if insurance has approved your roof replacement, give these guys a call at 651-402-3400 or visit them online at hire.pro. That's hire, and then put the dot there, Pro.
I'm just hitting the bumper. Yeah, here we go. Just
like wait, nudge.
Yes.
Can we
sign them all?
I forgot what you told me.
Well, this isn't new.
A sea foam or pro turf.
Wow, Dylan has backup singers.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Sinjur.
I dumped a whole can in the plow truck. Got to make sure that thing is at the top of its game because we're going to get about 14 feet of snow this weekend. And that seafoam that I dumped into the gas tank, that's going to cure all the usual engine issues that plague our cylinders. They're all eliminated with occasional doses. Give it a little bit now and then or do like I did and panic and dump a whole can. And doesn't matter. All those costly repairs that take money out of our wallets negated with those hits of sea foam. So easy to use. Crack it open, dump it in, done. That's all we ask for with our cylinders. Just run better and please last longer. I got to squeeze more miles out of you, baby. And that's what sea foam gives us. It's the best way to save money from costly repairs and ensure that we can plow snow when we need to or arrive on time or whatever the hell you think you're up to. Sea foam will help you get there. And you'll find it everywhere. Just pull in any old spot. You'll find a can on the automotive chemical aisle. A wonderful product in a world of bad gas and blizzards. Seafoam.
A quick review of the staff before we join John Reeves, space management. What are you going to do?
Well, I barely got any snow.
Then you're fine.
At my place.
Really?
John Height, space manager.
7:15 this morning, I went out and space managed my
really?
Driveway.
Really? Okay, Kenny? Yeah.
4:30 a.m., I was over at my mom's house plowing, and managed to plow half the gravel road into the ditch. It's too soft right. to be plowing, but I'll be handling it. Yeah, Joe, absolutely.
Left my home at about 5:30 in the morning and said, well, I hope she gets her done by the time I get home after me.
It
wasn't that much.
I noted that my driveway was melting it off pretty good. I will not do any space management on this round. However, on Sunday, we're being told we might get a whopper.
Yeah,
you might even want to wait. Yeah. Wait until Monday afternoon, yeah. Joe.
That ought to be a fun commute.
Here's John Height.
Thanks, Joe. This news is brought to you by North American Banking Company. A 19-year-old pleaded guilty yesterday to his role in a fatal shooting at the Mall of America, December 23rd, 2022. Tayshaun Adams Wright entered guilty pleas to second-degree murder and second-degree assault. Police said a fight had broken out at Nordstrom around 8 p.m. before someone pulled out a gun and started shooting. 19-year-old John Tay Hudson was killed in the shooting. Surveillance video showed Adams Wright and co-defendant LaVon Longstreet brandishing handguns before Hudson was chased and shot 11 times. Video shows the two standing over Hudson at different points as muzzle flashes show. A woman in the store at the time of the shooting grazed by a bullet but survived. Longstreet, who was 17 at the time of the murder, will be tried also as an adult. His trial expected to begin April 15th. He was arrested shortly after the shooting in Georgia. Adams Wright is scheduled to be sentenced on May 30th.
Legal gun ownership and went through all the proper procedures to get that firearm?
Absolutely.
Okay.
A new recreational marijuana dispensary is set to open this summer, and it'll be the closest one yet to the Twin Cities. Prairie Island Indian Community announced plans for its dispensary, Island Peze, on Thursday. Island Peze, according to Prairie Island Tribal Council President Grant Johnson, is a step forward in the efforts to diversify their economy and strengthen the tribe's long-term financial sovereignty. He said, we're excited to be among the first to enter the cannabis market and create new opportunities for the future of the tribe. The community says the dispensary will open next to Dakota Station near Treasure Island in Welch. Plans are in the works to make Minneapolis State Capitol grounds feel safer and more inviting. Eric Cedarleaf Dahl is the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board representative, and he says a lot of people who even live right nearby have never been to the Capitol grounds and don't feel welcome there or that they were allowed to be there. He says the board wants to change that narrative. The proposal outlines ideas to add gardens, a tree canopy, and more benches and picnic tables.
Oh, God. Oh, just give me the number. Just give me the number. What's the number?
Well, okay, we'll skip. I got a few more quotes from him, but we'll skip. We don't need to tell you. The board has, right now, $5 million in funding to get the ball rolling. However,
that's just the kickoff. That's the appetizer.
We're going to need more, right?
I'm reminded of something. Have you ever seen, it's not that long ago, for some reason, and I don't know who the people were, but cars were parked in the end zone of NFL games.
Oh, yeah. 70s?
Was it the ref drove in or something? I don't know. Yeah. But
what made you think of that?
This story from John. Oh. It used to be you could park right at the base of the steps of the Capitol and walk in.
Yeah.
Now that's all barred. You can't get anywhere near it. And you got to walk a mile to get to the Capitol.
You're one of those people that's for this program because you feel unwanted at the Capitol.
No, just let me park there again.
Okay.
No. Yeah. No parking.
All right.
To answer the rest of Kenny's question, it's all part of a bigger plan to make changes around the outside of the Capitol. And yes, the board says they will need more funding to make all of that happen.
How many picnic tables are they going to buy?
Who in the hell parked in the end zone?
What about in front of the fancy new office building that we're do we have enough ferns there and shrubs and mulch and whatnot?
May we give a shout out to our friend, Representative Marion Rarick, who we've had in studio with us. She is a Republican House member, and she says in her letter dated to her constituents, construction is well underway for the new $730 million state office building dubbed the Palace for Politicians. She said, we Republicans on the Rules Committee on which I serve have been trying to bring a motion to stop the construction. My colleague, Representative Kristen Robbins, Republican Maple Grove, has submitted this notion to be added to the agenda nearly every Rules Committee meeting since November so that we as a committee could discuss the motion and take a public vote on this $730 million spending. The motion, if passed, would stop construction and allow us to discuss whether this is the project, whether this is a project that should move forward. The chair has repeatedly refused to allow it to be added to the agenda. He refused to even have the conversation. The last meeting, he simply called the attempt to bring the motion out of order and gaveled the end of the meeting. I think that a palace for politicians costing $730 million merits a discussion, public testimony, and a public vote. Thank you, Marion Rarick. All right.
Tell me again, John, the people responsible for this landscaping project, because I've got some friendly advice for them. Who are they?
I want to get a hold of them. They have a long name. Area Architectural and Planning Board.
Area Architectural and Planning. Did you
find out for me who is the... Who is the Rules Chairman Committee for the DFL? It's a male, and he won't even allow the opponents of this palace to have a conversation.
Who is the Rules Chairman Committee for the DFL?
Rules Committee Chairman.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't say it here. I'd like to know who that is. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, wait a second, Johnny. While it's fresh on our minds, I want to throw a monkey wrench at Chris. Chris, are you paying attention?
I actually looked this up. It's Tom Cole. Sorry. Go ahead, Kenny.
I just want to pause here and personally address the Capital Area Architectural Planning Board, that if you're considering this improvement, this landscaping and this outdoor living space project this summer, I've got advice. I can help. Contact professionalturf.com. They're going to work with you, they're going to take your $5 million and make it look like $15 million. They're going to give you digital photography and landscape imaging that you'll be able to see the finished project before a shovel even goes in the ground. You're going to upgrade that space in front of the Capitol. And we can do anything here. Stone patios, fire pits, driveways, walkways, retaining walls, ponds. You want a pond? I think a pond would be good for you.
A pond would be good for you.
Yeah, we'll put one in. Yeah. They've been doing this, Superior Lawn Care Landscape and Irrigation Service, since 82. So get on the computer, Capital Area. What was it? Architect, planning board, blah, blah, blah. Right. Get something on the computer. It's professionalturf.com.
Thank you very much, Kenny. Star Tribune reporting the death of a familiar name in the Twin Cities realty business, Ralph Burnett, who founded from scratch the powerhouse Minnesota real estate company that helped transform the way people buy and sell houses, died Tuesday in Minneapolis from Parkinson's disease. He was 78 years old. Burnett, born in Pittsburgh but raised in the Twin Cities, didn't set out to be a real estate guy. In his 20s, he co-owned a ski shop at 50th and France. The trajectory of his life in real estate in the Twin Cities changed in 1968 when the owner of a real estate office across the street, who also happened to be his former Little League coach, hired him to sell houses. He caught the real estate bug in a big way. He wanted to build a business, and he wanted it to be number one. In 1973, he and Dar Reedy opened their own real estate office, which ballooned from a small group of seven agents to thousands, making it one of the largest and most storied brokerages in the country.
I never knew him. I read the obit. He sounds like an interesting guy.
Yes.
Did you know him, Rush?
I did not know him. I just knew him.
I met him one time at an event. Seriously, he was a really nice guy.
Tell us about him. What do you think?
Well, you like fish? No.
In national and international news, Russia and China today vetoing a U.S. resolution at the U.N. Security Council that called for an immediate and sustained ceasefire as part of a deal in Gaza, rejecting a measure that included some of Washington's strongest language since the start of the war. The Biden administration accelerating efforts then to halt the Gaza war as Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Israeli leaders in Tel Aviv and the CIA director traveled to Qatar, where mediators were trying to narrow gaps between Israel and Hamas over a ceasefire deal.
Shareholders voted this morning to take former President Donald Trump's media company public, a long-delayed move that will open the owner of Truth Social to stock market investors and grant Trump a stake worth billions of dollars. The vote today by investors in Digital World Acquisition authorized the Special Purpose Acquisition Company, or SPAC, to merge with Trump Media and Technology. Trump will own about 60% of the company, which at Digital World's current share price would be worth about $3.3 billion.
Is that what? The Truth Social?
Apparently,
is worth that much? I don't understand.
A lockup provision, though.
I don't know about that.
A lockup provision in the merger agreement, though, will prevent Trump and other major shareholders from selling shares for 6 months unless they're granted a waiver. That could limit Trump's ability to use any of the windfall to help pay off his hundreds of millions of dollars in legal judgments. Trump does not have the cash to secure a bond that would delay enforcement of the $464 million judgment in a New York fraud case, his lawyers said. If he doesn't post bond by Monday, the New York Attorney General could move to seize his bank accounts, real estate, and other assets.
You know, this Letitia James falls under the category of be careful what you wish for. Today it's Trump. Tomorrow, which real estate broker in New York is going to be plundered? There's something amiss there. I don't know enough about it to be smart, but I don't like what I read.
A group of over 100 migrants attempted to enter the U.S. illegally yesterday by rushing a border wall,
breaking through. Thank you.
Yeah, you know,
well, that's a really strong branch you're standing on.
The serpent is not holding the handle.
I think I've said enough for today. I'm done talking for today.
Yeah, he's hit his limit.
I'm sick of hearing whatever I have to say about stuff. I'm just sick of me.
Why don't we have a contest to raise money for charity? With the end game, you cutting that dreadful roadkill that's hanging from your chin.
Joe.
It's just the worst damn thing I've ever seen in my life.
I can't face myself in a mirror, and the beard helps me get through that process.
All right. You know where you need to be? A climate cafe.
I need a hospital, Joe. You'd fit right in with that raccoon
hanging from your face.
And, you know, guys like you really, really make me feel a lot better.
I didn't mean to feel you. I didn't mean to make you feel bad, Kenny.
I would like to have one therapist just for this five group of people right here, group of five people.
I don't want no therapist.
I saw a little movement there that indicates...
The guy that doesn't think he needs therapy is probably the guy who needs it the most.
I would agree completely, actually.
I admit I'm teetering on the edge of sanity. It's no, you know.
Yeah, you would not argue with us, but Joe will argue with us about it.
Yeah, so. Joe really thinks he's a normal guy.
I'm normal.
Doesn't have any white privilege.
I have no quirks.
Yeah, zero. Let me get one more story, and I know Chris wants to take a break, but I love this story. It was in the Star Tribune today, so I looked it up and got some more info on it, and there's actually a documentary about it, too, which I'd like to see. It's about this group. Have you heard about the Ghost Army? I think we've talked about it briefly before. The Ghost Army in World War II?
I'm unaware of it.
It was a group of American soldiers. Let me tell you, Bernie Bluestein was one of them. He was a sophomore at Cleveland School of Arts in 1943 when he left to join the U.S. Army. He then trained in a secret unit that landed at Normandy shortly after D-Day in June of 1944. He said, what we did is we attracted the Germans' attention so that real units could do whatever they had to do elsewhere. As a private first class serving the 603rd Camouflage Engineer Battalion, he created fake shoulder patches that his fellow soldiers wore on their uniforms to impersonate different elements of an infantry division. Now, the really cool part, they made fake trucks, fake army tanks. They were blow-up army tanks.
Sweet.
Like hardware, paying no attention
to that bush that's moving across the floor.
Yeah. John, weren't they also in England before the invasion? Because they wanted the Germans to think that they were going to invade in another area. So they set up a whole fake base full of inflatable tanks and cardboard airplanes and the like. Yeah.
In his final mission, Bluestein said the ruses devised by the roughly 360 soldiers of his battalion forced German commanders to spread their defenses thin in eastern France.
Yeah.
And that, he said, allowed the U.S. Army's 90th Division to cross the Rhine River with less resistance. The estimation is they may have saved up to 30,000 soldiers' lives.
Wow.
They were known as the Ghost Army. There were 1,100 of them. Inflated rubber tanks created fake airfields, blasted the sounds of troops marching on speakers to make it seem like somebody was marching toward German soldiers.
That's awesome.
On Thursday, yesterday, Bluestein and two other members of the Ghost Army, Seymour Nussbaum, aged 100, and John Christman, age 99, received the Congressional Gold Medal on Capitol Hill before a crowd of more than 600 that included family members and friends. I did look this up. There's a documentary from 2013 called The Ghost Army Book, which I'm definitely going to seek out. And there's a book also called The Ghost Army of World War II. Written by the same fellow who did the documentary, because it sounds horribly interesting.
There's fantastic. So many great stories surrounding World War II. One of my favorites, I don't know if it was the OSS or the Ghost Army, but they took a dead body, planted it with a whole bunch of fake invasion papers, floated that, it landed on the shore, the Germans pick it up, and they read this stuff, and they think it's a gold mine, a treasure trove of information, and they were totally fooled.
Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think we're done, right, Chris? You want a break? We'll send it to Mr. Rookie.
Well, you can certainly do that, and you can certainly... I've got some great, great news for all you GLers out there, and it has to do with Minnesota Masonic charities. Minnesota has 120 Masonic lodges throughout the state. And most people look at those old buildings as the place people go once in a while for a good pancake breakfast or where their grandpa went to hang out with friends, learn the secret handshakes. I know they're probably right about that, but what people may not know is that Masonic lodges is where thousands of men make a commitment to develop their personal potential and work on becoming the best possible version of themselves. Courteous, honorable, kind, humble, charitable, you know all those words. In a word, civil. In a world dominated by the decline of ethical and moral integrity, the Masons, they've got a serious project going right now. Have embarked on a new program, Civility School. The test run of this program will be held on March 30th from 10 to noon at the Masonic Heritage Center in Bloomington.
Get your elbows off the table.
Yes, that kind of stuff. So if you'd like to attend and lend your garage logician's eye to the program, go to garagelogic.com/Masonic. There's a little form you need to fill out because I want to know who's coming, but they would love to hear garage logicians getting together, like-minded guys, and just say, hey, let's figure some of this stuff out. garagelogic.com/Masonic. Fill out the form, and we'll see you at 10 o'clock on the 30th in Bloomington.
Game. Yes.
Hey, how's that pregame going? Red paint!
Let me write it down.
Hang on, can't get over here.
Well, Patty, my old Cretan Durham Halls didn't have it last night.
Oh, man, they were overmatched, weren't they? They got blowed out. I thought it'd be a little closer than that, but no, it wasn't.
Egan didn't have it over Minnetonka either. Minnetonka and Wayzata in the final. Who in the hell do you root for?
I don't know, but Egan upset Park Center in the first round. That shocked me. I saw Park Center play earlier this year. They were good. I guess they had a couple of guys foul trouble or hurt or some dang thing, but I thought for sure they'd be in the finals, but Minnetonka and Wayzata right next to each other. I wonder how they get in different regions. I don't know. They're located right next to each other, but somehow they end up with those high class 4A's. You never know what regions are going to have them in, but I don't know. They should have a pretty good crowd there, I would think, tomorrow night before the snow comes.
Yeah.
The snow's not going to fall till when? Sunday, right?
Apparently. March Madness delivered a beauty last night with Oakland beating Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. I saw Kentucky early this year. in one game when they scored like 100 and some, and I thought, man, they're good, but they don't guard anybody. All year long, they were giving up incredible numbers of points. They didn't look that interested when I watched, and that, you know, also didn't look interested was Kansas. I think these NIL teams are like saying, I'm not getting paid enough money to do this. Yeah. You know, I don't know, but
According to ESPN, there are still, well, as of last night, even after the Oakland victory, there were still 300,000 perfect brackets in the country.
Really?
Yeah. Who are the 300,000 people who picked Oakland?
What a sick mind. Right. AI.
Well, but a lot of people fill out 12 brackets with all upsets in them and stuff like that. So yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you saw that one coming. There was a couple. The one that everybody was picking was McNeese State. They said, ooh, look out for McNeese, because that's that the crook who used to be the LSU coach who got fired, Will Wade, got fired for improprieties.
Yeah.
Is now in McNeese State, and they were supposed to be good. They were down like 25 in about 10 minutes. So, a lot of people take those flyers, and there weren't that many upsets yesterday. They were mostly by form.
Yeah.
I was rooting for Drake, and they kicked it away at the end of that game. I watched
Who beat him?
Oh, God.
I saw that,
Washington
too.
State, of all people.
I think I picked Washington State.
Yeah, well, really? Good pick. But yeah. I don't know. I solved that problem. I don't even bother to pick one out. No. I got to get your thoughts on how much of the Ohtani thing have you read about?
Enough to be terribly confused and suspicious.
Yes. Well, you and I are on the same wavelength of this. The old journalism professor who said, remember, whenever you're interviewing, make yourself have one thought. Why is this SOB lying to
That's
me?
Right.
And this is, we're supposed to believe. Now, originally, the guy said that he gave him the $4.5 million and said, now, don't gamble anymore. You know, we're good friends here, and I'm pretty wealthy, and I'm going to be even wealthier. But don't gamble anymore. And then his lawyers and his consultants, Shohei, said, that don't sound good that you're paying off $4.5 million to an illegal bookmaker. So the next day, he didn't know a thing about it. It was all on me. And
Seen him before in my life.
never seen the bookie. Never. But who? What bookie is going to let you run up millions of dollars in debts just because you say you know Shohei of time?
Yeah.
Want to get paid. Once it gets up to about a mil, the guy's going to say, I think I'd like to get some money here.
That or you're going to get visited by a couple of goons.
Yeah. When I used to gamble early in college, the number was about $400 in that phone. It started ringing.
I've always told the story about the fella that I knew who owned the limo company here that was you could make a bet with. And I had some friends call me, and some of them worked at the St. Paul paper at a time, in fact. And they called me up and said they were beating up the bookie they had so bad he wouldn't take their bets anymore. And could I possibly find them somebody? So I called the guy. He's now down in Arizona. And he says, give him my number. I love those guys. So about 3 months later, I talked to him, and he says, yeah, they sued for peace when they owed me $12,000. I don't think they have that much patience to sit there and let a guy get millions in debt. But I heard Manfred on the game like Wednesday. I was watching the game early in the morning, and he didn't sound good. He didn't sound happy. And then about 12 hours later, this story breaks. So he knew what was coming. It's not a good thing for baseball.
Did I see a video of a second baseman charged for blocking the bag when he was clearly not blocking the bag?
He just tagged the guy. He put his glove down and tagged him. Lindor.
Yeah, Lindor.
So now I got to tell you this. And in Florida in the middle of February, Rocco goes to this meeting they have where they, you know, they got the managers and all those guys, and they're telling them about the new rule.
Mm-hmm.
And Rock, that if you drop a knee down and stop a guy, right?
Yeah.
Like that, it's gonna be interference, and the guy's gonna be safe because they think it injures people. Well, this was just a tag, but I told Rocco, he says, I think it's gonna have to be really grievous before they call it. And I said, Rocco, you can't trust these jackass umpires. Once they get a chance to be the first guy to call that,
yep,
they're going to make some stupid-ass call, and it's going to be a contest to see who can throw one of you guys out of the game the quickest.
That's going to turn people away from the game.
You think?
Oh, yeah. It's just horrible.
Terrible. I would hope that this guy's like a substitute umpire, although the substitute umpires work so much because they get so much vacation now. The guy umpires half the season. A guy named Sam Barber or something like that. I was looking him up. He's not in the big leagues full-time, but he loves throwing guys out. But it was just absolutely asinine. Right. And here's the other thing. It's not reviewable. It's one of the things that's not reviewable, so they can't review it. I would like to see what Rocco says about that one when I'd
Well, here's the problem. By the standards of the umpire making that call, you cannot ever gain second base.
No, you can't do it. You cannot ever get him out.
Right.
So what you're saying then, Joe, is Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to have 260 stolen bases this year.
Yeah.
it's unbelievable. And it was a spring game. If it had been the regular season, the manager would still be out there screaming at the umpire. You know?
Right.
What you're
telling me will do no good because there's no review.
No, there's no review, but it's not even close to what they say it's supposed to be. But this guy was obviously just waiting to call it.
You know who would love this new rule, don't you?
I guess Mom do knows best.
That's right.
Ricky would love that new rule.
Yeah. Ricky would love that new rule. Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Say, just come on down. I saw that. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the NFL's got a new one going too, Joe. Now you can't hit them high and you can't hit them low, right?
Right.
You tackle a guy too low, it's a penalty. You tackle a guy too high. Now, if you tackle him and use your hip when you take them to the ground, that's going to be a penalty. The hip something.
Hip drop.
Hip drop tackle. I don't even know what the hell they're talking about, but they say that. They say that they might not call it during a game, but if they see it on Monday, then they're going to fine the guys.
What the hell?
I don't know either. It's a violent game.
Yeah, it's a terrible game.
I said this morning, if you play football for a living, you know, you're going to, you know, you're a competitive, hard guy, and at 58, you're not going to be able to walk. That's just the way it is.
Or think.
Right?
You know, you're going to be walking around with two new knees and a new back, and you're probably going to die at 62.
But that's right.
That's life of football.
That's the trade-off. Those things happen.
Trade-off. That's right.
Some things happen.
Some things happen.
Most of you piss away your money before you're that old anyway, so don't worry about it. You know?
Okay, which game is worth watching tonight?
Oh, man, I haven't even...
you don't know? You haven't looked?
I haven't even looked. Which I just kind of, you know, you turn on TV now and they're on like four stations and you can... The nice thing about streaming is they give you a nice list up on top of everything and you just go boom, 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 boom and bring them all
in. Yeah, but clicking, you can only two-way click. We need a four-way clicking.
Ooh, four-way.
You can only two-way click.
Yeah, they got the thing that they got four games going at once if you want to click on that, but my eyes aren't good enough to see what the hell's going on.
That would confuse me. That would confuse me.
Yes, it is.
Why don't I talk to you Monday?
All righty. We'll do that. Goodbye. See you.
Yep. See you later.
Bye. See you later. Yes. Yes, yes, later. Yes, yes.
Yes.
not a Garage Logic town council member, here's what you're missing.
You guys want a review of William's band concert? Oh, it's even better than that. They played the Celine Dion song.
Oh my God. Bang my head.
What? Yeah.
I see you.
Oh my God. What does he play? The triangle? Does he play the triangle?
Trumpet. Oh. Look at him right there.
Fetch Mo. That's Chuck Mangione.
That's why band teachers are insane.
Kenny, it's funny you say that. I played golf with a guy, and he was a band teacher, and he was nuts.
Yeah.
And every band teacher I've ever met is crazy. They've been driven crazy.
Because they've been having to listen
been
to
hearing
that
this
for
5 years.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
Are you ready for one?
Yeah.
The looser the waistband.
Thank God today is Friday. TG.
Are we done? Are we done?
No.
Can we go?
No.
Let's go home.
Can we go?
It's the scramble.
See, there are two locations, of course, for EcoFun. I've been remiss in not reminding you of the Burnsville location.
Just drove by it the other day.
Right on the Service Road of Life near County Road 42, and of course the Forest Lake location just west of 97 off 35E. Say, we have a high school student in Indiana. His name is Cameron Blasek, and he got a free paint job of his pickup truck. They wrapped it in the American flag for him for free.
Cool.
Why'd they do that,
Joe? Well, because where he goes, East Central High School, the administrators there in St. Leon, Indiana, they stopped him from displaying the American flag earlier this month. He had it on his truck.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He's 17 years old, and he displayed the flag on his truck for most of his senior year. But Blasek said school administrators told him it broke school rules and needed to be removed. So he was written up for insubordination.
Are you kidding?
What is, what is he, in the Army?
Yeah. And he said to the school, there's no rules against this. I'm taking my action right from the rule book. There's nothing that prevents me from doing this. And so other students caught on, and they started flying the American flags on their cars, and the story went viral. And Cameron said, I guess other students had heard about that, and they showed up the next day with flags on the back of their vehicles. And then GCI Digital, a business based out of nearby Cincinnati, heard about Cameron's patriotic story and decided to spring into action. They gifted a brand new custom American flag wrap to the high school senior free of charge. And I'm looking at a picture of it. It's cool. They wrapped it. They don't paint it. They wrap it in the flag. Got it? And Fox News Digital said, we saw Cameron's story, and it resonated with us in a lot of ways. The truck was his grandfather's, and Cameron is a true American, interested in serving in the military. Now he's a fan of his new red, white, and blue truck. I love it. It's only been one day at school so far, but I think it's great. I love driving around with the big flag all over the vehicle. Why in God's name would the school not allow it's our flag.
Right.
It's triggering. Why are so many people afraid of the flag? Why have they changed what that represents? Mm-hmm. That's a flag for everybody.
They went to the bad excuse, though, and said, every flag, harumph, harumph, we can't have any flags on your truck.
The great part about that story is when the administration told that kid he can't do it, all the kids showed up with flags in their vehicles.
Well, listen to this BS. The principal, Tom Black, said, well, this is a potential safety issue with visibility. And 500 to 600 teenage drivers leaving at the same time during dismissal, as well as concerns that the flags are not appropriate for school. Concerns that flags that are not appropriate for school will be displayed, so they throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Do you think that buzzkill has ever been with a woman?
No.
Seriously.
After consultation with the super, however, Black, Principal Black, determined the school could allow the U.S. flag while still restricting other flags. We regret and are sorry for the confusion and are working diligently to clarify the issue with our community, Black said. You ding dong. You're a ding dong. Just go with ding dong. You're a ding dong. Ding, ding, like ding dong. Isn't that something? We can't have the American flag. It's a safety issue.
What a shame.
If you're on the left and you think the right has appropriated the American flag, it's your job to take it back. It's everybody's flag. We're all here. Let's hold hands and pray.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya.
Is that the only lyrics to the song? Oh, Lord, Kumbaya.
Someone sleeping, Lord, Kumbaya. Yeah.
We have to do it in the round. Let's do it in the round.
Okay, you start, Kenny.
Thank you, GLers.
Damn, I was going to do it.
I'm just kidding, he says.
Okay, I'm just doing something here.
Chris is the one day Reavers is in a hurry. Don't we have to do this day? And
this day is brought to you. No, really what's brought to you is only because.
I got news
only
for you. Because. Reavers checked out about 12 minutes after.
Is brought noon. To you by Renewal by Anderson for the best windows possible. Not only windows, but patio doors and entry doors. Renewal by Anderson's a J.D. Power Award winner. The highest customer satisfaction among window and patio door manufacturers for 4 years in a row. They have the most 5-star reviews in the greater Twin Cities among leading full-service window replacement companies. Go on their website. You can see all of the trustworthy cooperation. These new Acclaim windows are engineered and manufactured right here by Renewal by Anderson. They are the best, and they can prove it. Anderson's engineering and innovation is present in every component. I know this. I've seen and used Anderson windows my whole life. I know people with Anderson windows. And the Acclaim windows have renowned beauty, durability, and performance. You feeling the draft today with that big snowfall?
Let's go.
You wouldn't be feeling that with Renewal by Anderson. Learn more at anderson.com. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/GarageLogic or call Renewal by Anderson, 651-705-6931. And only because they come to us all the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada, the temporary home of the traveling Lymans. It was on this day,
March 22nd,
in 1882, a guilty verdict was rendered in the impeachment trial of Judge Eugene St. Julian Cox, who had been accused of conducting a trial while drunk. His cause probably was not helped when 10 bartenders testified to his ability to hold liquor. Cox was removed from office, but his allies in the Democratic Party later helped him reverse the conviction.
Give me another one.
Erection.
The conviction.
Election.
The conviction.
Oh, conviction.
Conviction.
So the DFL was dirty back then, too.
Yeah.
They were the other way around. Come on.
On this day,
March 22nd,
in 1908.
Like the right side can't pull a cork and bend an elbow. Give me a break.
Maurice H. Stans was born in Chicago.
In where?
Hello?
Chicago.
My what?
You're still talking about the Judge Cox.
Just a minute.
Take that tooth out.
Push that sucker in there. Maurice Stans was born in Shakopee. He was Secretary of Commerce under Nixon in 69 to 72, and I believe he had a role in Watergate.
He did. Mm-hmm. He gave somebody money, right?
That's right.
If I recall correctly.
On this day.
322.
In 1958, movie producer Mike Todd won an Oscar for Around the World in 80 Days for Best Picture of 1956, died in an airplane crash in New Mexico. Todd was born in Minneapolis in 1909 as Avram Hirsch Goldbogen.
Wasn't he married to Elizabeth Taylor at the time?
I don't know. It doesn't say that on this day in history.
He might have been, yeah.
This day in history covers everything, and it's not on there. On this day.
It's a long one today.
Week.
That's right. 1993. George O. Berry died in Minneapolis. Born in St. Paul, the son of a railroad porter and a domestic worker and a federal meat and poultry inspector by profession, Berry was one of the first African Americans elected to public office in the city, winning a spot on the St. Paul School Board from 1966 to 1973. During his tenure, he worked for the creation of magnet schools.
And I believe Royce claims he does not know him.
Probably not.
I do not know this man.
But Berry.
Berry.
On this day,
322.
In 2002, Governor Ventura signed a law designating the image known as Grace as the official state photograph.
Nice.
The photograph was taken by Swedish-American photographer Eric Enstrom in 1918. It depicts an elderly man bowing his head and giving franks.
Sure.
Thanks. No. Thanks.
Okay.
Do you know the story behind that?
He was bowed over a loaf of bread.
You know the real story?
No, I don't, Kenny.
It was an alcoholic drunk that was passed out on the curb, and he brought him into his... I'm not kidding. He brought him into his studio and shot him.
Really?
Is that when he gave him franks?
Yeah. Also, when the word Berry is mentioned, do you guys get the same frightening image in your head that I do?
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't.
100%.
Michael Todd was indeed married to Elizabeth Taylor when he died in the plane crash. And in fact, of her seven husbands, he's the only one she never divorced because he got killed in the plane
crash. She never got around to it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. He was Avram Hirsch Goldbogen.
There you go.
He probably knew Sid. I'm not kidding.
I'm standing on the corner in Winslow,
Arizona. Would they have been warm up the same time? No, Sid would have been fine.
They're going to be okay.
They probably were raised in the same neighborhood.
Sign up for YouTube. Peace out.
You got her?
Yeah.